Hello.
Hello, who's this?
Hello, it's Steve Blacknell, Carol. How are you?
Hello, Steve. How are you doing, mate?
Good.
I'm good.
That's been a while. Yeah. I'm just trying to think. Decades. How are you in this very odd time?
To be honest, I'm getting really, really fed up with it now. And not just out of brattiness, although I can be a brat, as we all know. I've kind of lost faith with the kind of, the current constant limbo and no end in sight. And
are you sitting at home composing, or are you decomposing? What are you doing?
I'm decomposing. Start of lockdown, like everybody else, I was really industrious, and I posted on my social media lots of funny videos of me cleaning my cutlery drawers, and people were saying, save your sock drawer to the weekend, you'll need something to do, and walking the dog's his legs were worn down to stumps, he had so many walks, and we were all very positive, and we're all in this together, and get me that pot, I'm going to bang it for the NHS. Then with each passing week, I now just stare out of the window and think, is it too early to start drinking yet?
Well, someone said, I can't wait for the pubs to open so I can stop drinking so much.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we feel. Yeah.
Because it's getting near that time. It's an afternoon. It's a bit balmy out there. I'm thinking, is it really too early for gin and tonic?
I know. And I know some people are working from home really hard. So, if you've got that kind of job, maybe life hasn't changed that much. But mine's a very physical job. So I'm out on the stage, I'm out on tour. I'm always, summer, of course, crazy with festivals. And I never have been any good at writing a song on my own. I'm the worst musician in the world. So it all goes on in my head. And I have to have musicians like Ronnie Rogers, obviously, and, some of my other band members to translate it into chord structures for me. I play really, really bad piano. I can just about block out the chords. But I have, in the trade, we call it top line. So I have all the melody in my head and usually like 90% of the lyrics, But I have to work with good musicians to get ideas out of me. So, no, I have not been musically productive at all on my own. All the notes are on my piano.
So you haven't done what Johnny Coghlan from Quo did. I was talking to John recently, and he's produced a single called Lockdown. which I said, well, how many minutes did it take you to think that up, John? He said, I didn't think of that. He said, Lockdown. Yeah, right. Bleak, obvious,
I know, definitely. So no one, and I got halfway through cleaning some wardrobes and then stopped because I just couldn't be bothered to finish the job. Now I'm losing the will to live. I don't know if you've seen, there's a thing going around on social media with, it's almost like, what are the stages of grief, anger, denial, and just this sort of blank acceptance. And it's like loads of pictures of Reese Witherspoon with all different expressions on her face. And then May, June, July, and August are all the same, just blank, completely blank expression.
Tell me about it. Well, I always thought denial was a river in Africa, but I had to say that. But enough of comedy. Going back, it's funny because I've been part of many record labels in the past and all that. And I remember we had a label called Criminal once, and it took us like about 5 months sitting around there getting drunk, coming up with the title of the label, and we thought that was funny.
That's research.
But you see, you cheated with T'Pau and got it off Star Trek. Is that right? Well, you're just sitting there one night watching it or something.
Well, I can remember exactly how it happened, and I hope they don't listen to this because my kids only said to me yesterday, you're allowed to use that, Mum. Didn't they try and sue you? Well, nobody did, so it must be all right.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you exactly what it was. We had the album in the can. We'd been out to Royal Recorders studio in Wisconsin, just outside Chicago, with Roy Thomas Baker. We had the deal with Virgin Siren. And we didn't have a name because we couldn't agree on one, because we used to do a lot of research in pubs as well, like the Dog and Duck in Soho, for hours and hours, and couldn't come up with a name we agreed on. And one day I was back at the flat in Shrewsbury where I still lived, and I was actually doing a bit of ironing, and the TV was just burbling in the corner. I mean, I wasn't famous then. I have people to do my ironing now, obviously.
Of course you do.
Yeah. But that, anyway, back then I was still, you know, real. I was keeping it real. And I did my ironing, and behind me, the TV is Star Trek, the William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy TV series. And it was just burbling away. I wasn't even watching it. And I could hear, like, to power, blah, 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 blah. To power, and it just caught my ear. It's you know, very onomatopoeic, and the spelling was unusual, T'Pau, and she had a sister called Tapring as well. So, and I just thought, that's quite a catchy word, and so I ran it past the band, and I've always said it's the one they hated the least.
Yeah, that would do it.
And literally the album was ready to come out, and the record label was saying, you have to put you have to come up with a name because we're ready to go, you know. So that was it. So T'Pau we were. And back then in the States, everybody thought we were these mental Trekkies, you know, which we weren't.
Well, it's funny in a name, isn't it? Because I worked with a Flock of Seagulls. Well, I signed them when I was at Jive.
And, right.
I know a lot of people, particularly in America and the Midwest, they say, hey, why are you calling a Flock of Seagulls? And, you know, everybody would ask them the same question, you know. So did you have that with
I thought they were called fucking seagulls.
Well, they were by the press, they were.
Yeah. He had great hair, that guy, didn't he?
He's bald as a coot now.
I've done quite a few shows with him.
He's really nice.
You go for sort of avant-garde names, I suppose, don't you? Not that T'Pau's avant-garde, it's more snappy. And if you say any name over and over and over again, it sounds stupid. The Beatles, the Rolling Stones. You know, they all sound stupid in the end, don't they?
I remember sitting in bed in 1963, I must have been 11, and I remember seeing that Love Me Do by a band called The Beatles had just come into the whatever it was chart. I remember saying to me, Mum, The Beatles, ha ha ha, Mum, what a funny name. And of course, in the end, it doesn't matter, does it?
No.
It seems so important at the start, but when you think of the Rolling Stones, the Doors, Cream, it's irrelevant in the end.
I know. There was in Shrewsbury, where I sort of grew up around Shropshire, remember when people used to put stickers in phone boxes and stuff?
Yeah.
Not just those kinds of stickers for the girls' numbers. No, Steve.
The other
bands,
stickers, yes.
And there was a band called Squashed Things in the Road. Which I thought was just brilliant.
Squash things in the road. Well,
support,
But I mean, I once there was a band who called themselves Support. So it would be like T'Pau plus Support.
Yeah.
And they just thought it was terribly funny, but of course no one else got the joke. But
yeah, I know. Well, I was always, when we were, you know, always doing shows, I wanted to know whose band were called Interval, because I never sort of saw them in the building. But
Interval.
They were
all, Good one. But Interval. But T'Pau goes on. I mean, does T'Pau exist still, or when you go out doing all these the stuff now, is it as Carol Decker?
Yes and no. No, well, how it works is I named the band, and Ronnie and I were signed to the label. The other guys worked for us, you know, the other original four members. And so when all the heady days were over and we all took a bit of a breath, I sort of decided to get back to work. And Ron didn't have a problem with me using the name. There wasn't any of that, well, you know, if I'm not in it. Because he didn't want to go on the road. We'd split up personally as well. And he wanted to set up a studio and stay home. And I wanted to get back to work. And so that wasn't a problem. So I was allowed to use the name. And then I can't even remember what I did in the 90s. It's just a haze of depression. After years of nothing, you know. Finally met someone who got me back gigging, and I said, well, shall I go out as Carol Decker? And he said, well, no, because T'Pau, people still know that name. It's a brand, you know, you can build back on the brand sort of thing.
Yep.
And I sort of did it grudgingly because I felt disingenuous. I felt like T'Pau was that original lineup and that original time, and I still feel a bit I should have bitten the bullet and started to create Carol Decker.
Yeah.
And I still slightly regret that now, but it's too late. And at exactly the same time, Tony Hadley was going out as we were on the same sort of circuit of tiny clubs and trying to build ourselves back up. And he had Tony Hadley brackets, expander, ballet, close brackets. And it just, we just thought that looked awful. It was a bit
hard. It did, I remember that very much.
So he, but maybe he was wise letting the brackets follow him around for a couple of years and then he could dump the brackets and then he was Tony Hadley. So
dump the brackets.
Yeah, and I don't know. So I don't know if I made the right decision. So now I go out as to Powell, and that's with Ron, and we've had pretty much the same band for the last 6 years, who are fantastic. So that'll be a to Powell show. And often if I drop in front of a house band, the promoter will say, can I bill you as to Powell? Because everyone knows that name more than your own.
Yeah, sure.
But just lately, people have been happy to put Carol Decker, you know, and I think I might get the extra power as well. So all sorts of ways, really, you know.
It doesn't matter whatever works. But, I mean, the thing is, you had monumental, I mean, like China in the Hand was just like, what? You know, that's ridiculous. So, but when, for someone like you, and I never thought to ask this with anyone else, so this is a first, it shows my brain's working a bit, slightly. So when you're going out there, because you're still writing, obviously, and you've got a new single and stuff, does it piss you off in any way that does it happen that you'll do the hit and then come up with a new song? Do you hear the murmur of people talking in the audience, or are they generally attentive?
Well, in our own shows, actually, people tend to like the new stuff, because your real diehard fans are kind of keen to hear that you're still doing new stuff. Obviously, the more well-known songs will always get the bigger applause, but they're really quite interested and curious. I would say possibly if I get put on a big festival bill, they just want the hits. It works.
Well, I suppose that would be if you're on one of the big retro, what they're called.
Yeah, Rewind and Let's Rock. Yeah, they just want the hits. But if it's a little to Power show, usually we're out working because there's some new material. So the people that do come are coming because they great, there's some new material, let's go as well, you know. And they're really, really nice, and we've done things like acoustic tours and stuff, and our sort of hardcore diehard fans really love everything we do. And
that's the sort of Bowie-esque thing of taking your audience with you and letting them enjoy whatever you're doing next, which is
exactly
not always the case.
Not quite the same amount of people.
No, but near. But I'll never forget Peter Sarsgaard way back, you know, in the 60s with his big hits. He had two hits, Where Do You Go to My Lovely and Frozen Orange Juice. And I remember being at a gig he's doing with Barry Mason, the writer, just years ago. And Sarsgaard got up and did his Where Do You Go To, and then Frozen Orange Juice, and everyone was like, da 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 da. And he said, now I've got a new song. And people actually went to the bar.
Oh,
and
no.
I remember thinking that must be really hard for artists to be known for that, and then perhaps to have to suffer this. But I'm still writing. Look at me, you know, I'm still alive here.
I think I'm scarier than that, because I tend to say, if any of you fuck off to the bar, I will find you. You know, so.
Well, there's always a subtle approach. You're right.
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah,
and sometimes you get a polite request, but there's a couple of songs we've written just over the last couple of years, and I've got to say my output is not huge, and Ronnie gets really annoyed with me about it, because I can't, like I said, I can't write on my own, I'm useless, so if I don't make arrangements to write, nothing gets done. But anyway, the last couple of years we've had a couple of songs. Our last album, which I think was 4 years ago, which was Pleasure and Pain, got really great reviews. Really good reviews across the board, and all my big hit albums, I got slagged to the skies by the trendy,
that's it,
Melody Maker, Q Magazine.
You know, you're onto a good thing sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, but I had a huge chip on my shoulder that I didn't have credibility, so I just put an album out a few years back, and it's got vintage to Powell, absolute classic to Powell, but it's relevant, it's really well crafted, and sold about 50 copies. And I was like, fuck the credibility. I was selling all the middle of the road dross that you used to
give me the money.
I know, but off that, we had a great song called Read My Mind, and then we had Run, which everybody loved, which we put out as a download single 2 years ago, and then we just put Be Wonderful out as a download single, and the response has been really good to the quality of the songwriting and the production and stuff. So that's been really encouraging. But of course, the numbers are not there anymore for a variety of reasons, actually. You know how the industry's changed and, yeah, you know, yeah, nobody makes money more. So when I gig now, Read My Mind, run and be wonderful, get a great reception. People really like them. So that is good.
That is good, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as long as, you know, you're buoyant through all of this, it must be tough. But tell me, am I right in thinking that you've got your own label? Is that right? And did you, I understand T'Pau from watching Star Trek, were you in a very hot fish shop or something when you discovered that you're going to call it, is it Natfish?
Natfish.
Is that right?
No, having your own label sounds really grand, doesn't it? I just had to call it something because nobody would give me a record deal anymore.
Well, how did you come up with Natfish?
Okay, that was my then manager. So Will Ashurst, the man who got me working, writing, and introduced me to my now husband, and is now Ed Sheeran's business manager. So, you know, he obviously, after we split up, he didn't go on to do anything, as you can tell.
Not at all.
He said, because I am really mercurial, and I've, you know, Richard, if he wants to get me into the house, just get some tinfoil and shakes it, and I follow it into the house, you know, a bit like Father Jack off Father Ted. Will said I have the attention span of a gnat and the memory of a goldfish, so we called it Gnatfish. And then Richard, my husband, found this kind of Victorian curious illustration.
Yeah,
and that's our logo. So it's named over the fact that I can't hold 10 consecutive thoughts in my head for very long.
That's excellent. Well, there you go. Well, it beats Star Trek, doesn't it?
I know. Yeah. What can I say, actually, that many, many years ago in the mid-90s, I did actually go to this very renowned clinic in Los Angeles because I was just having a few things I couldn't deal with, and they gave me all these tests, and they did diagnose me with attention deficit disorder. And I said, what did you say? Sorry, I wasn't listening.
What's it called again?
Yeah. So they did. They said I had ADD. So there you go. You never
there
know.
You go.
It's a real thing. Yeah.
It is, yeah. But you're still producing stuff, and you got this the single, and the video was done by your children, you say.
Well, it was. So before Christmas, me and Ronnie and the guys got into the studio at Ron's place in Wales, and we got three tracks kind of mapped out. And I just got the vocal done on Be Wonderful in January when all the, you know, doodah hit the fan. So we had it in the can. And Ron's got a great studio, he's a great producer, so he could do all that. So he phoned me up and he said, look, you've got to do a lockdown video. You've got to. Let's just put it out there. Let's just put it out. You know, it was something to do, isn't it? So my kids, so Scarlett, she's just graduated from Bournemouth Arts in production animation, and she also did a BTEC in creative media production, and my son Dylan has just finished creative media production, so they can do all the editing software and storyboarding, directing, special effects, and all of that, you know. So I said, come on kids, time to put all those credentials into good order. And so we just used all the sort of, we went for a comedy kind of, it was when everybody was saying they weren't getting out of their onesie and they were just watching telly all day. So we went for that sort of look in the video.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's a fun video. Very
yeah,
much.
And, yeah, and we've got a duck and some chickens and our dog and, you know, and so we, and Mutant Ninja Turtles and all sorts of things. And we just used what we could and made it as funny as we could to try and make people laugh at the start of all this terror, you know.
God knows we need it. And that's out on Gnatfish, is it?
It is. Well, it's a download single, so it's up on all the downloadable platforms. And if people want to spend a couple of pennies, I'd be eternally grateful. But if you go onto YouTube and just put in T'Pau, Be Wonderful, then you can take a look at the video.
And let's be wonderful. Lovely to hear your voice again. And
thanks, Steve.
I suppose 2021, that's it. It's out there on the boards again, is it?
Well, I hope.
When it comes back, I think we'll see it will be perhaps bigger and better than ever. There's a lot of people out there thirsty for music, aren't they?
Yeah, well, you know, it's really great to talk to you, and thanks for calling up. Let's be hopeful, and I'll see you all on the other side, and I hope you enjoy the new single, and I can't wait to get back on a stage somewhere near you.
All right, Carol. Thanks a lot, my love.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
Bye.